Good morning, everyone, on this Memorial Day weekend. I welcome all of you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. I realize that in the past few weeks, I have not told you who is our engineer, our sound engineer, person who keeps us on track. And that's been Tom Castle. And today, it's Karen Whidden. And so we're so grateful for all the work that they're putting into us behind the scenes, because you can't see them. But I welcome you from Deacon Bill, Cantor Dave, and myself as we worship together via Zoom. And we're all hoping, believe me, that Zoom works better this week than it did last week, when it was kind of a global issue. So I've been sharing with you how Deacon Bill, in his devotion with us on ministry night, reminded us of prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving. And in today's lesson from Acts, we read that after returning from the Mount of Olives, Mount Olivet, where they had seen Jesus ascend into heaven, they devoted themselves to prayer. And so on this Memorial Day weekend, our prayers of thanksgiving are for all of our men and women who have given their lives in service to our country, that we might have the freedoms that we have. We are so grateful for each and every one of them, and pray always, always, every day, for the safety of all of those who are actively serving our country today. And so now, an update on reopening. I know you all received, or I hope you did, an email yesterday. In St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he wrote, "All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Do not seek your own advantage, but that of the other." So a mantra that doesn't really sound exactly like St. Paul, but is mine, that I've been using, is that just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. And obviously today that refers to St. Matthew opening up for in-person worship. We have never been closed, and I just want to emphasize that over and over and over again. The church has never been closed. We haven't been able to worship in person, but we have continued to worship and praise God via our podcasts and our live streaming. We have continued to feed the hungry, and now we're doing it every single Monday, twice a day. We have continued to feed our souls, hopefully, with Bible studies and simple just gatherings via Zoom to chit-chat and to reach out to our members via the telephone and teach our children. We have never been closed. How and when we will reopen for in-person worship is yet to be determined. First, nothing will happen until our governor gives us the green light. And then it does not mean that we're necessarily ready to reopen for in-person worship. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. Our council met yesterday via Zoom to continue to be in dialogue about the process. Reopening needs to be a very well thought out process and needs to proceed slowly and with care. Many new and different ways of being together will be our new normal. As a Girl Scout, so many years ago, I was always taught to be prepared. So get those masks ready. No one will enter our building unless you're wearing one. We all have our masks here in the sanctuary this morning. I want us to be safe and healthy. I want our neighbors to be safe and healthy. Yes, we are sharing the gospel in new and different ways. And some of you are sitting on your easy chairs watching service today while the rest of us are standing up here working. That's so awesome. That's so wonderful. And you know, we'll continue to share the gospel in new and different ways, even after all of this is over, with the help of God. So if you have any questions, please direct them to John O'Mara, our council president, to myself, or to Deacon Bill. And so now I encourage you to get those cell phones out and be ready when it's time for the passing of the peace, so that you can share that with someone else. So now, let's worship God. As we gather together for worship, My prayer is that our time together will be a time of peace and hope and grace for each one of you. And we begin with a brief order for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for each one of us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so now I would say, kids, come on up, sit down at the communion rail. And I know you can't do that really, but good morning, everybody. I hope you're kind of enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. I know last Sunday when I visited with some of you via Zoom, you had already been swimming, even though the water was rather chilly. You're very brave. So Nate and Kate and Jillian and Elizabeth and Christopher, Olivia and Allie, Rachel and David and Annie, Harrison, Benjamin, Grace, Brian, and I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. If you are parents, please let me know. So today, I thought we'd take a look at one sentence from the writing from the book from 1 Peter. You're going to hear Deacon Bill read this passage in just a few minutes. And in there, the writer tells us to not worry about anything, to cast all of our problems onto God, and that God will hold our problems in God's loving hands. And you know, I think that's really important when we're scared or lonely or tired or worried about something, when we really want to be able to ride our bikes down the street and visit with our friends and we know we really can't, and we kind of get upset about it. And what we're hearing is, cast all your anxieties, all your worries on Jesus, because Jesus cares for you and loves you unconditionally. I don't have any pets. At least now I don't have any pets. We used to have pets when my children were young. But sometimes I wish I had a cuddly puppy dog or cuddly kitty cat, so that when I was feeling sad or lonely, that I could play with my kitty cat or with my dog, because they're never too busy to cuddle with us or to play with us, and they love us no matter what we are feeling. Our pets love us no matter what. They're just happy knowing that their human beings are nearby to make sure they have food and water. And you know, Jesus keeps his eye on even the smallest sparrow, so Jesus' eye is on our pets too. So think about that. If Jesus' eye is on our pets, how much more is his eye on each one of us, loving us all the time, no matter how we are feeling? Jesus loves us. You are baptized. You are the beloved children of God. Jesus promises us that we can cast all our problems on him. Thank you for caring for us, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Help me to trust and listen to you. Keep us from being worried and afraid. Amen. See you next week.
Before I begin the readings today, I have a confession to make. As I was watching Pastor Peggy stand there, I realized I forgot to light the candles. Please forgive me. At any rate, the first reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Today's reading is part of the introduction to the narrative of the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. These verses tell of the risen Lord's conversation with his disciples on the eve of his ascension, in which he promises that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, when the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know when the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let God arise, and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee. As smoke is driven away, so you should drive them away. As the wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful. Sing to God, sing praises to God's name. Exalt the one who rides the clouds. I am is that name. Rejoice before God. In your holy habitation, O God, you are a father to orphans, defender of widows. You give the solitary a home and bring forth prisoners into freedom. But the rebels shall live in desert places. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked and the skies poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You sent a bountiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished. Your people found their home in it. In your goodness, O God, you have made provision for the poor. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. You ride in the heavens, O God, in the ancient heavens. You send forth your voice, your mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies. How wonderful you are in your holy places, O God of Israel, giving strength and power to your people. Blessed be God.
The second reading is from 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, and chapters 5, verses 6 through 11. Our faith in Christ does not make us immune from the scorn of others. Nevertheless, we are to resist the designs of evil when we experience disparagement from others, because we trust God's grace will strengthen and guide us. Verse 12, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prays to his heavenly Father, asking those who continue his work in this world will live in unity. After Jesus had spoken words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave to me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, the seventh Sunday of Easter, is an interesting time in the life of the liturgical church. For this past Thursday was Ascension Thursday, which in many parts of the world actually is a very big festival day. It's a day off from work, it's a day of partying, lots of celebrations, but not so much here in the United States. I do remember Pastor Ingrid and Tim inviting the congregation to their home for an Ascension Day gathering and service. Ascension Thursday, the seventh Sunday of Easter, and next week, Pentecost Sunday, are so intertwined together, carrying words of just stay, stay and pray, just stay and receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Stay, pray, receive the promise. In the Ascension Day text from Thursday, we hear Jesus promising that the missionary work of the disciples will spread out from Jerusalem to the entire world. And we heard that today in the text also because they overlay each other. They kind of overlap each other from Thursday to this morning. Jesus promises that they will be accompanied and empowered by the Holy Spirit. In the gospel for this past Thursday, we heard Jesus leaving his disciples with a commission, a blessing, and a promise of the Holy Spirit. And fast forward to today, and we find the apostles asking Jesus, "Is it time now, Lord? Is it time now?" And his reply, "It's not for you to know the time or the periods, but you will receive power by the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And in the beautiful words from our gospel today, we hear Jesus praying for us, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father that those who continue his work will live in unity with one another. Twice in just a few days, we hear the same promise from Jesus. You will receive power by the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So what did they do? They stayed. They all went to the room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And they stayed put. They stayed in isolation. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? They devoted themselves to prayer, for more was to come. More was to come. The promised Holy Spirit. But that is for next Sunday when everybody has to wear red when you're sitting home watching worship. So today, I'd like to share with you a poem by Pastor Jan Richardson. She's a United Methodist pastor, and it's from her book, The Painted Prayer Book. And I think it expresses where the disciples were that day so very long ago, and perhaps where we are now. And it is called simply, Stay. A blessing for Ascension Day, and the seventh Sunday of Easter. I know how your mind rushes ahead, trying to fathom what could follow this. What will you do? Where will you go? How will you live? You will want to outrun the grief. You will want to keep turning toward the horizon, watching for what was lost to come back, to return to you and never leave again. For now, hear me when I say, all you need to do is to still yourself, is to turn toward each other, is to stay. Wait and see what comes to fill the gaping hole in your chest. Wait with your hands open to receive what could never come except to what is empty and hollow. You cannot know it now. You cannot even imagine what lies ahead. But I tell you, the day is coming when breath will fill your lungs as it never has before. And with your own ears, you will hear words coming to you new and startling. You will dream dreams and you will see the world ablaze with blessing. Wait for it. Still yourself. Stay. Turn toward each other and God and pray. The story is to be continued next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. again, following our time of prayer, we will be sharing the peace with one another virtually. So I encourage you, if you wish, to have your phone ready, which I'm doing right now, I hope, that you can send a text message to someone to share with them that you're praying for them, or just pass the peace to them. So with that, we begin our time of prayer. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by this current social quarantine and isolation. For our first responders, our military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, those who are working tirelessly to find a cure. We pray for our military reserve units who are serving in New York and Connecticut, for the Schultz family, for Shane Clark, Ray Falsack, John Fisher, Willie Thomas, Patricia Sullivan, the call committee and process, our Stephen Ministry caregivers and receivers, those of our loved ones in nursing homes who are so terribly isolated at this time, and those that we name silently in our hearts or out loud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. O God, call your people to be one as you are one. Unite your church in the truth of your gospel, the love of our neighbor, and the call to proclaim your reign to all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Breathe life into your creation. Guide your people as we explore the mysteries of the universe. We pray for the work of scientists and mathematicians whose skill enriches our understanding. Help these scientists find a viable path through these trying times. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your justice known among the nations of the earth. Protect the vulnerable. Redirect those who use violence and greed as weapons. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come to the aid of your children. We pray for those engulfed in grief, those without supportive families, and for the millions who are isolated, powerless, or afraid, that all may rest their anxieties in your care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give courage to all who embark on new ventures. We especially remember this day those who have risked and who currently risk their lives to serve in our armed forces. Grant safety to those serving at home or abroad and assure them of your never failing strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Raise all your saints to eternal life. Until that day, we give you thanks for the faithful examples of those who have listened to your voice and now rest in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, may the peace of Christ be with you always. Peace, Dave. Peace, Karen. Peace, Bill. Please join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, may the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Go in peace. Share the good news. Stay safe. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.